thank you, church, for your love. And I thank you. My wife is more than a conqueror. As soon as I get the offering, I give it to her. And so we thank you. And I'm excited to today introduce a message called Revolution. We are here as God's change agents, empowered to change every place our feet touch. Before I begin that, let me tell you a little story. I heard about the little girl who was sitting on her grandpa's knee, and she noticed and touched the wrinkles on his face, and she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And he said, "Yes, honey, God made me, but it was a while ago." And she said, "Well, did God make me?" And Grandpa said, "Yes, God made you, but just a little time ago." She pondered for a little while. She says, "Grandpa, God's sure getting better, isn't he?" Acts chapter 26 is our main text today as we look at the life of Paul, the man God radically reformed, transformed, the man who God used to be a revolutionary. Acts 26. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, "You're permitted to speak on your behalf." So Paul's giving now an argument. He's giving a defense of his faith to King Agrippa. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things which I'm accused of by the Jews, especially because you are an expert in all customs and questions which have to do with the Jews." King Agrippa had Jewish heritage in his family. "Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which I spent from the beginning among my own people at Jerusalem, all the Jews know." He was a well-known, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a leader in the Jewish community. "They knew me from the first, if they were willing to testify, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. To this promise of our 12 tribes, earnestly serving God day and night, hope to obtain. For this hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused by the Jews. Why should it be thought incredible that God raises the dead? Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign lands." So Paul said, "I've spent the majority of my adult life on a mission to destroy Christianity, to destroy this new sect they were called the Way, these messianic believers." So here's a couple of really important things. When good people have bad theology, they do bad things. And it's important that when we look at people that are doing things in the name of religion, either Christianity or Islam or any other religion, that we don't think of people that those are just evil people. No, no. When someone believes something strongly and it is a hateful belief system, a negative belief system, it empowers them to behave in accordance with that belief system. And so they can do ugly things thinking it's beautiful to God. Y'all with me? So Paul's completely deceived. And he's reached the apex. He's reached the zenith of religious tradition outside of Christianity, outside of encounters with God. And you see, here's the problem. You can know scriptures and you can be a student of scriptures, but if you don't know the author, you will always come to wrong conclusions about the ultimate meaning of scriptural truth. So if you don't know the heart of the author, you can misconstrue his words to fit your agenda. So he said, I did all of those things, and he's justifying it in this sense. He said, I did it with a clean heart. I thought I was doing right. But denial is not just a river in Egypt. Okay? So he said this, while thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, who are you? Who are you? You can know the scripture and not even know the author. Who are you? And the voice said, I am Yahshua, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Jesus took it personal. When his children were persecuted, he said he was persecuted. But rise and stand on your... Now, this guy's going to write 2/3 of the New Testament. He is the most influential Christian in history besides Christ. There's no doubt about it. Now, if I'm God, when I visit Saul of Tarsus, I turn him into ash heap. I'm Jesus. Told you. But Jesus' love is so powerful that this guy, who's a terrorist, he's torturing them until they recant their faith. He's imprisoning them. He's dividing families. And history tells us he fed them to lions. This horrible persecutor is so radically transformed by just one heavenly encounter with love that he spends every moment of the rest of his life spreading the love of Christ around the world. Get ready. God's about to save people you thought were unsavable. God's about to get some atheists, some agnostics, some haters, some persecutors. God's about to touch people in the culture that are vicious and violent and cynical. And God's about to get people. There's no such thing as an unredeemable person. There's no such thing as an unredeemable place. People who encounter God are empowered to transform the world. Who are you? I'm Jesus. Arise, stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose. Now, get this. Every encounter has a purpose. Okay? Wow, Pastor, the Lord really touched me. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, I can't wait to see the purposeful consequence of today's personal encounter. Okay. I've appeared for this purpose to make you somebody you've never been. Oh, I've got some, I have some pastor friends in California, some Hispanic guys. I love them. They like me, you know. I'm just this dorky white guy. But I love them because they were almost all gangbangers, tattoos and murderers and thieves and life sentence and police chases and drug lords. And I got saved when I was 6. You with me? So I stand and preach to them, and they're like tattooed. Oh, we like this white guy. And I love the testimony. My friend, Pastor Edgy, his church just burned down. And I prophesied the week before he would get 3 miracle buildings. His church burned. I can't wait to see how God turns that baby around. But I love him. He was supposed to be in prison for life. Got saved in prison. Got supernaturally released. Now he's saving people. Now he's a gangster for God. It's so fun. And it must be so fun when he runs into people from his past and says, hey, it's Edgy. Edgy, you're a preacher? Yeah, that's amazing. I'm a gang lord, from a drug lord to a preacher. Ah, Jesus. Love changes the world. I've appeared for this purpose to make you. To make you. We're changing these from services to Sunday morning encounters. Encounters, because my goal is to not throw some theology at you. My goal is to create an encounter with God. To make you a minister and a witness, both of the things that you've now seen and the things that will be seen revealed in the future. So he said, every encounter you have gives you another dimension of heaven to empower and to release to others. See, when you miss today's encounter, you're not ready for tomorrow's struggle. Okay, let me develop that. I will deliver you from the people that were your friends yesterday. Jesus was a radical revolutionary. He was the most radical person that ever. On Wall Street, a bunch of young people, with one percenters, the banks are all corrupt. Racial unrest. See, there's revolution in the air. But the only true instrument of transformational revolution is Jesus Christ and his kingdom. You can have a great cause, but until you've had a heavenly encounter, you can't make that cause become a reality. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We are wrestling in the heavens for the relief. Okay, I will deliver you. So let me say this again. Paul has an encounter with God. In that encounter, God says, this singular encounter for the rest of your life will deliver you from every enemy you'll ever face. The encounter you have with God today empowers you to overcome the adversity and storm you will face tomorrow. When we miss today's encounter, we become vulnerable to tomorrow's storm. Right, I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like that. It may not show up this week, but something will happen that you were supposed to be empowered for today. Okay. I will deliver you as well as from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. I'm sending you to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those that are sanctified in faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Anoint your servant, your word, your people, Holy Ghost. He said, I've come to tell you something. The word turn, it's in your notes. It means to return. It means to turn back, to reverse, to convert. It means to a revolution. I'm making you a revolutionary. You're almost with me. I'm empowering you to start a revolution. I'm not just pastor with a sermon. I'm not just a sweet little Christian worshiping God and loving my. I am a kingdom, a Holy Ghost anointed, baptized with fire, Jesus revolutionary. I'm called to change the world. I'm called to make history. I'm a world shaker. God's anointed me to start trouble with hell, to release healing from heaven. God's anointed me to take cities, to set the blind, open the blind eyes, to set the captive free. God's anointed me. I'm a rebel. You are the same as me. We're here to bring a revolution from heaven to earth. We're here to change things. We're here to rearrange things. We're here to watch God turn things around. We're here to shake up things. We're here to stir the pot. We're here to release heaven. We're here to kick out hell. We're here to heal the broken. Every place you go changes because you've gone there. Every place you ever go, God will bless a business with 50,000 people in it because one person like you is there. You're not with me. God will bless a whole city just because of your family. That city may never know your name. You may never be the mayor, the president, but because you live there, there's an army of angels around you. And when the terrorists were rebuked and the crime was restrained and demonic powers were pushed, because you live there, every prayer you've ever prayed or sighed or cried or every word you've spoken in the name of Jesus has changed the world. I say this occasionally, let me say it to you. Loved people love people. Changed people change people. Blessed people bless people. Healed people heal people. Delivered people delivered people. Whenever you let God change you, God will change people through you. Every encounter we have with heaven that we allow to change us enables and empowers us to release that same dynamic into other people's lives in order to bring change to them. You're making a difference. Acts 4, Peter and John were being, the Jewish leaders had political and legal authority, even civil authority of the Jewish community. They could arrest, they could imprison, they could punish people in the Jewish community. They were given that permission by the Roman government. Peter and John are arrested, they're brought before the leaders, verse 13, Acts 4. When they saw the boldness, everybody shout boldness. If you want to offend a religious spirit, be bold. Well, I don't know why you gotta shout. I'm not into the loud praises and the shouting. I just believe I can worship. Yeah, but if I rung your doorbell and say, hey, you've won the publisher $10 million. Ah! Woo! Some of you, if your words had consequence at the Super Bowl, your TVs would have blown up. The city of Boston would have been inflamed. So when they saw the boldness, parousia is the word for boldness. It means outrageous, outlandish, public, fearless declarations of faith. Goliath's 13 feet tall. He said, I'm going to kill you, little kid. 5'6" tall David, ruddy hair. Looks like a little boy model. Goliath's got scars everywhere. He's, you know, I eat things like you for breakfast. You're like a stick. I'll feed my dog and I curse you by my gods, Dagon or whatever their name is. And David said, are you done? I got something. You can't let the devil have the last word. I got something to say to you. You come to me in the name of your gods that live in a temple made out of stone. I come to you in the name of the living God. Who whose nation and army you've defiled. Let me tell you three things. Number one, this day you're dying. This day I'm cutting off your fat, ugly head. And when I'm done with you, I'm coming for all that army behind you. That the whole world might know the battle belongs to the Lord. The only reason we'll lose America is if the church in America gives up on the purpose of God for America. Okay. When they saw the boldness of Peter, John perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. Their vocabulary revealed the level of their Jewish training, which wasn't much. They marveled because it seemed to them that their education, that their standing, that their Jewish traditions, that their natural history did not give them the right for the outrageous bold. But they said, oh, this reminds us of that. And they marveled and they took notice and realized they had been with Jesus. Jesus turns cowards into champions. Jesus makes the fearful fearless. Jesus gives you boldness to break out of your humanness and to witness to people, to shine for Christ, to love the unlovely. Jesus, when you encounter Jesus, he makes you like him and he starts a revolution inside of you that starts to flow out of you to others. Luke 19, I'll just tell the story for time's sake. Jesus is walking on the street, and he's a rock star, okay? People are all around him. They're lined up in the street, and a prominent business guy who happens to be short, so he's height challenged. But he's wealthy, and he can't get through the line, and so instead of giving up, listen, there will always be a barrier between you and Jesus. It tests the level of your desperation and hunger. I had a church expert come to my church at 19th Avenue when about 7 or 8 years ago. And he said, Pastor, he came after church. He said, oh my God, Pastor, I think I counted 40 cars because the parking lot was full. They just left. What do you say about that? I said, I don't want those people. If you can't park on the street one block away for Jesus. Now, I'm not belittling people that are crippled or pained, but I'm saying, if that's all it takes to stop you. I had a guy tell me, oh, Pastor, I love your church. I'd come, but, you know, I live in Scottsdale. Do you realize we have people that drive from New Mexico to come to our church? From Tucson, from Flagstaff, from California? They drive to come to church here. I'm not picking on Scottsdale. He's got a couple in the front row. That's my boyhood town. Okay, let me break this up a little bit. Heard about the pastor who decided to skip Sunday morning service so we could play golf. He called his assistant and said, I'm not feeling good. Got in his car and drove to a town where no one knew him. And there, on the first hole, he hit his club. And a great gale of wind came. Caught that golf ball. Carried it an extra 150 yards. And dropped it right in the cup for a 420-yard hole-in-one. Angel turns to God and says, what'd you do that for? God, with a little smirk on his face, said, who's he going to tell? Now, I will say this. If you happen to win the lottery, I don't believe in that. But I believe in tithing if you do. Somehow those roads, I'll connect them. Zacchaeus can't get to Jesus. He climbs a sycamore tree. Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. He climbs up in a sycamore tree to see what he... Zacchaeus, come down. So Zacchaeus is up there, the business guy. He's acting in a humiliating way. Can you imagine? Look at that. Mr. Big Shot, big pants, up there in the tree. Jesus stops. See Zacchaeus, who's a known dishonest person. Some people have the occasional flub up. Some people make their money by being dishonest. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. There's all these nice people. He picks the rat. Pastor, if Jesus came to Phoenix, what would he do? He'd bar hop. Find all the backslidden pastors and Christians. Come down, Zacchaeus, I'm coming. He comes to his house. Zacchaeus is instantaneously transformed. His greedy, hard heart melts. He said, Lord, I'm deeply touched. Jesus said, salvation's come to you. He said, I'm so touched. I'm going to give half my wealth away to the poor. And if I've stolen from anybody, maybe a couple of times, I will restore four times. Jesus is so powerful. His love so transformational. He turns greedy people into generous people. Yeah. Next time you think, oh, those rich people, rich people can't get saved. Of course they can. Of course they can. Okay, Jesus. The next little story, Jesus, in your Bible, or in your notes, 5, 5th chapter of Mark, Jesus comes to the Gadarenes, gets off the boat, Gadarenes, 10th city region, and touches the soil. As soon as he touches the ground, a demonically possessed man races at him, naked, raging. Ah, Jesus! Son of David, what have you to do with me? Have you come to torment me before my time? See, when you're anointed, you never have to go devil hunting. Just go someplace. People, I don't like that person. I know you don't. It's because you're demonized. And the devil in you hates the God in me. But I could help you. Jesus sets the guy free. Go! The demons go to pigs. The pigs drown. The demons, pigs can't swim, whatever. So the guy, next story. Jesus teaching. And he's teaching, blessed are the pure in heart. He's teaching. And the Bible says, now that guy who was naked, who lived in a cave with dead bones. He lived in darkness. He lived with death. He lived in the past. Who cut himself, he was self-destructive, who cried out for pain day and night, who no man could tame, and any chains they put upon him, he broke apart like toothpicks. That guy, the worst guy, is sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. Good point, Jesus. And they're more afraid of him now. Because people don't understand how people change. But in the kingdom, one encounter with Jesus can make you into someone you've never been. My mother and father had a hippie church here in town, New Life Chapel. We had a guy named Sam there, a tall, blonde guy. I suppose 10 years older than me, and Sam had literally blown his brain out with LSD. So sweet, had maybe the acumen of a fourth grader. And he comes to church, worships God, and listen to me, his brain starts repairing. He ends up going to DeVry. He ends up becoming an expert in electronics. He ends up being mathematically genius. Because one encounter with Jesus. We are heaven's change agents. And the last thing, please read my sermon at home. I'm not going to finish it. Let me just briefly talk about this. Jesus said, in my kingdom, there's 563 Jewish laws. Here's my law. A new commandment I give to you, that you love agape one another. That you agape one another just as I have loved you. By this love, all people will know you're my disciples. Love changes the world. Jesus is dying after being scourged, tortured, and now crucified. And while he was dying, he was loving. Papa, forgive them. When you can forgive people while they're still hurting you, you shake the world and you transform the atmosphere. 1 John 4, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God. It's in your DNA to love. He that does not love does not know God, for God is love. So in human, so I'm, you know, God help me to be a better husband this year, love my wife, but she's easy to love. But Jesus said, go ahead and love the people you should love. But in my kingdom, I empower you to love the people you shouldn't love. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to those who spitefully use you. Jesus said, love changes the world. Guy was speaking, Mary and I had just started our church. Guys, 30 years ago this year in Scottsdale. Steve and Tony were some of our first members there, Eagle's Nest. And there's a few other families here that have been with us that long. During the second year, I'm praying for a car. You know, I'm praying for the car at the altar, and this awesome German businessman. And I'm by myself. He taps me, and he kind of startled me. Pastor Mike? I said, oh, like on a Monday. He said, do you need a car? I'm praying for a car. Oh, God, give me a car, a Chevy, a Ford, or whatever. And because Mary's dropping me off in the van. What do you call them? Minivans. I just want to thank you, Jesus. I'd never have to have a minivan ever again. I'm so grateful I got my man card back. It's hard to feel too manly when you're driving a minivan. And he says, well, I felt the Lord told me to give you a car. I'm thinking, oh my God, I just prayed it. This is a year of supernatural acceleration. And I come outside. He said, there's only one car there. It's a blue Mercedes. I didn't even see it. I said, well, where's the car? It's the Mercedes. I said, no way. I'm asking for a Mercury, and he gives me a Mercedes. So I said, are you sure? I said, I only got 150 people in the church. And so everywhere I go in town, I became the talk of the town in the preacher community, not in a good way. Here comes Mr. Big Shot spending church money buying a Mercedes Benz. And now everywhere I go, please, I didn't spend any church money for this. I go to a meeting, the guy preaches, would Jesus drive a Mercedes? You know, and everybody's picking on me. And the answer is, of course he would if he had to. He'd drive a Volkswagen if he needed to. So, about 2 years later, we had the car. And I told my wife, I want to give it away. We've given away 19 cars since then. So we gave the car away. So there was a guy who had a weekly radio show. And every week he'd talk about me by name having a Mercedes. It's just horrible how preachers drive Mercedes-Benz like that pastor in Scottsdale, Mike Maiden. He's driving around, you know, Mr. Hottie Toddy, Mr. Big Pants, Mr. Prosperity. So I said, I'm going to give my car to that guy. Honey, did this happen? This is a true story, Mary. Thank you. So Mary follows me there in the minivan. I knock on the door, and the guy sees me. When people first see me, they're like, everybody's surprised that I'm tall. Hi, Pastor. I said, hi. I have something for you. He's like, oh, what is it? I said, well, God told me to give you my car, my Mercedes-Benz. What did he do? Started crying. What did his wife do? Started crying. What did his three kids start doing? Cry. What did I do? Laugh, laugh, laugh. For joy. Now get this. That guy and I are friends today. Good friends. He got a license plate about a month later. Said, don't judge. Our kingdom is an undefeatable, unshakable kingdom founded by love. And whatever grows in the fertile soil of love becomes undefeatable in the hostile cultures of this world. Build your life in love and watch what God does. Would you stand your feet, everybody, for a minute? Are the youth in here, Pastor Ian and group, they go out. Teenagers, are you still here? They went out. Here's what I want to do. Everybody 35 or younger, would you come join me at the altar? Someone go find those kids and bring them in too. If you're 35, the Holy Ghost will tell me if you're lying. Shanda Casa. 35 or younger. Yeah, just crowd up, you guys. What a beautiful group of young people. Yeah, just spread out. I want them as close as we can get here. Just jam them all up here. Keep pressing forward. In fact, I don't want anybody in the aisles, so a bunch of you just come and stand behind me here on the stage so we can make room for the aisle kids. Yeah, just a bunch of you. Just fill up a whole section right here. Yeah, we're making room for these guys. You guys, keep pressing forward. Yeah, come up on the stage if you're too far away. Keep pressing forward. Now, just a couple things. It is my great honor that all of you beautiful young people come and hear an old guy talk on Sundays. I'm deeply honored by that. But my assignment is to you. And the Lord told me this morning, a great awakening is happening in Phoenix. And I said, Lord, where will it happen? He said, it'll happen across all the generations. He says, but I'm going to begin with the young. That's what he said to me. I declare over you, this is your time. This is your time. The things Mary and I did at your age determines the things God's doing at this age. And God's inviting you to keep encountering him in such an awesome way. I was talking with a pastor friend and he said, God showed me that if my children would have 5 encounters with Jesus before they were 20, they would never backslide. And I look at my life, tremendous difficult things we've gone through, but I had so many encounters with heaven before I was 20, before I was 30. They empowered me to survive what life would do to me. And God is visiting you. You guys, would you mind just holding up your hands? I'm going to ask all the moms and fathers, everyone else here who's in my age group or older than 35, stretch your love toward these young people. Father, I thank you for your love for this beautiful group of young people. And I declare that you are removing long-lasting hurts. You're removing family traumas. You're healing brokenness. You're awakening dreams. You're reviving spirits. You're empowering destiny. You're guiding into your purpose. And I declare over every one of them that they are a chosen generation, assigned and anointed by you, Father, to be radical revolutionaries, to love their generation to Jesus. They're called, God, to have encounters and worship the earth's never had before. They're called, God, to carry a glory a generation's never carried before. They're called to walk where others have never walked before. I feel something coming on you. Come on, keep praying, everybody. Thank you, loving God, for your grace upon these. Thank you for marking them in this moment. Thank you for a shift in every aspect of their life that's been disengaged or diverted from destiny and purpose in your kingdom. Thank you, God. While you're standing there, God's moving. I just touch the person on the shoulder next to you, young people also. There's too many for me to pray for you all. I'm just going to pray for each other. Just touch the person beside you. We're praying and heaven is moving. God is doing something. God, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you for touching these lives. Thank you, God, for the. You are revolutionary, no doubt about it. You will shake nations for me. So are you, young man, called by God, anointed by God. He's healing. He's restoring. Mata silkobota lama salam. Visions and dreams are coming from God. Heaven is close. Atamika sanda lobosu. Thank you, God. Come on, everybody, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. Bisandala moto sola. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're doing something deep, personal, meaningful, profound. Touch them, God, in a way that they know they've been touched by heaven. In a way, God, that they know your love has made a difference. Heal everything that's hurting. God, lift burdens that they are not called to carry, God. Show them tomorrow, today. Restore dreams, hope, visions, and purpose. And God, deliver them from evil in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I declare, God, no weapon formed against them can prosper. God, I thank you, God. You're now empowering them in this moment and in this season of their lives to overcome anything in any season of their life that they'll ever face. Come on, keep praying. Something's happening just for a few moments longer. Thank you, God. 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 Come on, something's happening. Something's shifting. Something's moving. Come on, heaven, pour out on these that you so love. God, do it, I pray in Jesus' name. Come on, keep praying. God's doing something massive. God's releasing something massive right now. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for deliverance from every weapon of hell assigned to cripple their soul. And I declare no weapon formed against these that you love will prosper. Ah. I love you, Jesus, I love you. Help me, someone that can sing.
And I love you.
Come on, let's lift our hands and tell them this morning. Jesus, I love you.
You first loved me.
Come on, let's adore him. Let's adore him, let's adore him.
And I love you.
Wonderful Jesus, I love you, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I love you.
lift your hands one more time, young people. I release to you a father's blessing. I declare that you are God's child, that God has a purpose, a plan, a destiny, a dream for you. I declare that you are loved beyond what you've ever known. I declare no weapon formed against you can prosper. I declare that your steps are blessed every place you go. I declare that your heartache is leaving. I declare that the pain of your parents and the pain of your past goes in Jesus' name. You will not bear the burden of others, and you will not bear the shame of others, and you will not bear the lasting, lingering pain of your past. And I declare in Jesus' name that God marks you for his kingdom, and that God claims you, and that God's about, this is your year for a revolution in your own life. This is your year for things to shift and change. This is your year for new life, newness of life in every part of your life. Come on, tell him, I love you, Jesus. Come on. Jesus, I love you. Come on, Jesus, I love you. Come on, let's give him a shout. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Come on.
Because you first loved me.
Listen. I'm going to count to three. Here's how I want to close the service today. I want everybody to shout, but listen, you young people need to out-shout us old people. I want you to shout, not just because of what God's done for you, which is wonderful, but when they shouted, the walls came down. This is your year for walls to come down. And so I'm going to count to three. I want you to shout until your voice is hoarse, until your lungs are empty. I want you to shout until walls come down, something shifting and changing. Everyone here, get ready. God's about to do something. A revolution is beginning in our city, in your life, through the love of Christ. Get ready. One, two, three. Come on. Coming down, the walls are falling down. This is the year of freedom. Come on, this is the year of joy. The walls are falling down, the walls are coming down. This is the year of freedom. This is the year of joy. Come on, the walls are falling down. The walls are coming down. This is the year of freedom. This is the year of joy. Come on.
The walls are coming down. The walls are coming down. This is the year of freedom. This is the year of joy. The walls are coming down. The walls are coming down. This is the year.
just going to stay here for a few minutes because something's happening and I don't want to miss it. So God bless you. I love you. Don't forget Wednesday night. Jesus, come on. The walls are falling down. The walls are coming down. This is the year of freedom. This is the year of joy.
The walls are coming down.
The walls are coming down.
This is the year of freedom. This is
the year
of joy.
Come on, it's your time. Your circle.